implications. All of us, psychologists, lawyers, psychologists, therapists, and educators, are called upon to study and understand Reich's scientific heritage, as there is nothing even remotely comparable to it. Reich's research and conclusions are essential, if not a precondition, for our present transformation of Western society and scientific culture, which is going to become more rational-minded and eventually begins to acknowledge and integrate its roots in the biological and social-cultural realities of the human race, while formerly in human history, life paradigms were rather based upon fear, myth, custom, dogma, tradition, authority, and irrationality. While it is true that Western science still today does not recognize the ether and considers, for example, outer space as a vacuum, we cannot simplify matters to a point to say that the energy concept was alien to Western culture. In fact, it was always present in both the Eastern and Western world, but it had to remain underground in the West because of the denial of the tree of knowledge by the official dogma of the Christian Church that was enforced and upheld through the Inquisition. And yet the alchemists and many branches of natural healing, especially the plant healers such as Paracelsus, knew it all. The present study shows that in all these different costumes, we see the same actor coming along, the bioplasmatic cosmic life energy in its many masks and manifestations. We are dealing here with manifold ways and expressions for describing basically the same truth inherent in the function of living, which is why I have tried to unify the terminology as one of the tasks that were at the basis of my production, The Science of Emonics, that for me is actually the final point of my research on the cosmic life energy. While functional thinking about life and living was never distorted to that point in the East, in the West, through moralism and what Reich used to call the emotional plague, functional thinking and reasoning was relegated to few individuals, whereas the masses of Westerners still today are locked in a hypertrophied intellectual perception of reality, while they are emonically widely dysfunctional, if not crippled, through the still all-pervading taboo of natural sex for children and adolescents. We cannot impudently act counter the basic laws of the cosmos as we did during 5,000 years of life-denying patriarchy, and the price we pay for this lack of respect and intelligence is high. We may perish as a race along the way. Just 5 years separate us from the end of the Mayan calendar, and yet our establishment does all but consider the most fundamental paradigm changes we have to go through during the next decades, and this not just on a national, but on a supranational and international level. The science of the bioenergy is also a new platform for functional thinking about life and society. Wilhelm Reich was perhaps the first scientist in the West who was not only applying functional thinking in all his work, but who at the same time had the eminent pedagogical talent to explain us why we have to think functionally and not moralistically. Reich's answer was, "It is because life thinks functionally and not for any other reason." This simple answer leaves all religious and ideological fanatics in empty space, and that is where they belong, because they really do not have any ground under their feet, and their rants are simply irrelevant on the agenda of life. We must eventually begin to understand that the old controversy, if creation was of a spiritual or material nature, is a Cartesian trap. This antinomy, as part of Western civilization's thought structure, is one of the numerous artificial distinctions that thought makes and that are not part of nature, as the intellectual mind is divisive while nature is integrative. Nature simply is. Creation is. This existential reality is energetic and encompasses the whole landscape of life, from the ethereal, highly fluctuant, and all-pervasive that historically was called ether, and now is called the aura or etheric body, until dense and highly static matter like sand, stone, or bones. The notion of the ether that I have discussed earlier in this essay is a quite catchy expression for something like an energy and information field, something that is not directly material like dense matter, but something that is ethereal, as for example the aura around the bodies of all living things. It is obvious that the adjective ethereal, as we use it for example in ethereal oil, expresses something that lacks material substance and yet is full of substance. And we could indeed explain the antinomy between spirit and matter as a mere function of the density of matter. As I showed above, Fridtjof Capra remains vague on this point, while he correctly reflects and reports Reich's position, pointing out, I quote, Reich saw his orgone research as some kind of primordial substance present everywhere in the atmosphere and extending through all space, like the ether of the 19th century physics. Inanimate as well as living matter, according to Reich, derives from orgon energy through a complicated process of differentiation. End of quote. Interestingly enough, later in his book, when writing about the ancient Chinese concept of qi, Capra also intelligently grasps the notion but says the Western concept of ether could not adequately describe it. I quote, the concept of qi, which played an important role in almost every Chinese school of natural philosophy, implies a thoroughly dynamic conception of reality. The word literally means gas or ether, and was used in ancient China to denote the vital breath or energy animating the cosmos. But neither of these Western terms describes the concept adequately. Qi is not a substance, nor does it have the purely quantitative meaning of our scientific concept of energy. It is used in Chinese medicine in a very subtle way to describe the various patterns of flow and fluctuation in the human organism, as well as the continual exchanges between organism and environment. End of quote. The perhaps first researcher who understood that we are talking here about a field was Harold Saxton Bohr, 1889 to 1973. Still within the vocabulary of the old paradigm, but correctly observing the phenomenon, he spoke about electrodynamic fields, and when these fields control living organisms, he called them L fields. Georges Lakowski spoke of resonance. His insight in the resonant oscillations of cells, which is just another application and manifestation of the L field, enabled him to cure cancerous plants in his various experiments. Lynn McTaggart, in her thorough research on the matter presented in her book The Field, concluded that most modern science authors speak of the zero-point field when they denote the ether, or a mysterious invisible substance that already Capra recognized and intuited as not a substance in the strict sense, but something in relationship with fields. There is no need to fight about words here, as all researchers coincide in the basic functionality of this substance that is not a substance. It's a communication facilitator in the universe. And the amazing thing about it is that this communication does not follow Einsteinian relativity, as it's instantaneous, whatever the distance is between the two entities, particles, cells, molecules, plants, animals, or humans that communicate with each other. The perhaps best research and most lucid study written on the subject is Irvin Laszlo's book Science and the Akashic Field, an integral theory of everything. Laszlo presents the whole array of concepts and interpretations and tries to make out the break, the way that future science is going to apply and integrate these concepts through a unified field theory and an equally unified and probably new scientific vocabulary. And from his former books and predictions in other fields of science, there is a high probability that Laszlo shows really the way we are going to go in the years to come. Disappointing, however, is that his study mentions Wilhelm Reich with no word. It is because of our highly separative Cartesian thinking of the past 400 years of science that we have created problems in life that originally have no place in it, and that the intuitively or emotionally intelligent thinker will not perceive as problems. An example for such an early holistic thinker is the German poet Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, 1749 to 1832, who was not only one of mankind's greatest literary geniuses, but also a phenomenally gifted natural scientist. Goethe's pantheistic worldview, as well as his scientific theories, such as his color theory, that were rejected at his lifetime, would today be accepted in a science that quantum physics has enriched with the essential insight that all matter, regardless of its density, is conscious, and that therefore the traditional scientific expression of inanimate nature today has become a misnomer. The universe is not empty, as modern mainstream physics still pretends. It is filled, and totally filled, through and through, by the all-pervasive bioenergy that we may call, as we wish, organ, prana, chi, or whatever, and that I call in mnemonics E-force. And the next step forward, there is no doubt, will be the official recognition, scientific exploration, cartography, and final integration of the pattern-oriented science of the bioenergy and the erudite study of its laws that, as Reich has shown, are totally different from those that, for example, govern nuclear energy. Probably a new terminology will be created for this purpose than the one used in esoteric literature since times immemorial, and probably also one that differs from Reich's ergonomy research vocabulary. As the trend is right now, there is a high probability that the universal bioplasmatic and cosmic energy will be described as a field that obeys to very specific laws and therefore quite intelligently has been termed zero-point field. To make it short, I guess that this term will make it through and gain widespread acceptance because it's very handy and functional. One of the most important consequences of an official recognition of the bioenergy would be the levy of the ban over sexuality or certain forms of it that today are tabooed, because society would have to recognize that sexuality in all its forms is holy, as it is itself the creator principle. This means that social paradigms would have to change, as well as criminal laws, and particularly the laws of consent, as I have shown in other publications. And here, we face perhaps the last and most persistent psychological blockage of perception that was the reason for Western science's persistent denial of the living energy within and without. Intuitively, every natural scientist knows that every new discovery in a so-called exact science has a sure and immediate impact upon the moralistic Überbau or moralistic roof structure of a given society's base paradigm of living. To voice it clearly, an energy-conscious functional science could not uphold sex taboos, and such a science would inevitably impact on abolishing our ridiculous, outlandish, and outright nonsensical sex laws. This is the perhaps only reason that a real functional and emotionally intelligent energy science has not yet been created.